Justin Angry Bill Vickery. Normally at this point in the show, we'd be recapping the game last week and looking ahead to this week's matchup with Auburn. But there's no game to recap from last week, thankfully. So instead, we'll just give away some tickets to this week's game against Auburn.
That'll work.
I think a lot of people are excited about this game. To me, it's like it's a new season. It's a new day. And you know what? You win a couple of games, and then you get another bye week, and you win another one. And hey, guess what? Going bowling, baby.
Well, look.
I'm not picking Arkansas, but I just never know.
I don't understand. You know, this still lingers a lot. And I was right in the middle of all this when it was going on.
Do you have to?
The Houston nut, and then the taking it out on Gus, but then the Mitch Mustang. I just...
Well, they just had the movie, the Mitch Mustang film air at the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival, so it sort of brought up some of those old thoughts and feelings, bitterness. That was a bad time. What did you find to be less palatable or more annoying, that whole saga or the whole stadium debate the last time it got real ugly before the contract?
They all live down to some of the worst rhetoric ever.
Yes, both of those two situations find me wanting a good controversy about an Arkansas State game.
You know, in Ohio, the state legislature makes the Ohio State play all their non-conference games. They play each other.
Yeah.
Ohio University, Miami of Ohio.
Formerly the Redskins.
Right.
Now the Warhawks.
Warhawks.
Hey, let me ask you this before we get into this trivia question.
Preach on it, Jesse.
You spent a lot of time in D.C. with your real job.
My real job.
What do you have any idea? Are your fingers anywhere close to a pulse in D.C. on Redskins?
I can tell you that Washington roots for two things as a city, and I promise this is 100% the gospel truth. They root for two things to happen. If you're in power, they root for you to fail and be kicked out of office. Mm-hmm. That's what most of the city roots for, and they root for the Washington Redskins. And it is top to bottom. It is rich and poor, black and white, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. They are a Redskin crazy city. And I know they got the baseball team and the basketball team. Forget about it all. They love the Washington Redskins. And I think there's such a sense of tradition, even amongst folks on the hard left that you would think maybe would be more politically correct or whatever. This is kind of almost taking it off the table. And so Snyder made a problem with the deal when he drew the line in the sand. It says, no way in hell I'm changing the name of the team.
Well, the president has voiced his concern.
That's because he's not from D.C.
Goodell is the commissioner, and it doesn't matter where he's from because what he says carries a lot of weight, and he's going to be, or he's visiting with Snyder about it. Yeah. So this week the Oneida Indian Nation spoke up. So there is probably more pressure than ever before on the name change. My point is, you've already got a precedent, and I realize that the basketball team is not nearly the centerpiece of attention that the football team is, and nor should it be necessarily. But they did change the name, and they suck just the same.
Right.
So there's no reason for me to believe that. To me, the name on the beginning is what matters.
Right.
I mean, Arkansas used to be the Cardinals, right? Way back in the day? If they were still the Cardinals, would it make that much difference? I don't know. I wouldn't like it as much because I'm a Cubs fan. But I'm saying my point is, it's the name that comes first that matters the most.
You're right. Back to the Washington Wizards, they used to be the Washington Bullets.
Yes.
But they became so bad that the NRA petitioned the NBA. We no longer want one of our products associated. You know, it wasn't at the murder capital of America.
No.
The NRA weighed in and said, this is a disgrace to Bullets.
Lesser known story.
Right.
But all too true.
Behind the scenes, what was going on then.
Yes. When when you're getting calls from Ben Hur, I'm going to need you to,
But with the Redskins,
Mr. Heston?
First of all,
got Mr. Heston on line four.
Charlie Krauthammer had a great column, and we're talking about a very conservative guy who said, you know, look, and Stas Norgeworthy had a good point a couple of shows Sundays ago. It is a patently offensive term. There are no two ways to look at this. It is Redskins is a pat. You can make a case for Braves. I know what Florida State has done with the Seminole Nation up there, and look, they're good. So there is but they honor the tradition. There's a way that you can promote the right way to do this. I happen to think the most nimble name change of all was at my alma mater. because we used to be the Hendricks College Warriors, and it was a big Indian chief, and that was the symbol, a warrior. We kept the warrior name. We just became Mel Gibson and Braveheart, basically. Mm. You know, it was like we became a Gaelic warrior. And I thought that was somebody smart really knew how to nuance their way out of that one.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't have the negative connotation in the same way.
No, I mean,
again, exactly. there are slurs that I don't think I need to enumerate to our listeners for a comparison to. And I think we played the Bob Costas clip earlier this week.
Yeah.
If you did that for say an Asian American, an African American, people would be all up in arms over it. And again, if it had been around for 100 years, I don't know. But the bottom line is, it is patently offensive. There is no argument there. Whether or not they should change it is the debate.
Crothheimer's column, which I thought was very insightful, basically said, look, the Costases of the world need to shut up. Because when they weigh in, both on both the hard right and the hard left, when Snyder says, no way you're making me change this name, and a guy like Costas weighs in and says, oh.
Here's the thing about Costas. I thought Costas made a lot of valid points and did not go over the top as much as he simply made a case and said, let's think about all these things, both pro and con. I thought he laid out just a great, that's why I found it so compelling.
He did, but he's already Bob Costas. He brings that whole NRA debate.
How about your man, you're a Cowboys fan, right?
Yes.
Brad Sham won't say the word Redskins anymore, and they play him twice a year.
Right.
That carries a lot of weight with people who look up to Brad Sham because of being Cowboy fans and having grown up listening to him do games.
And I think that's a smart move. That's a broadcasting choice that he's made, and it's also the right thing to do. Again, back to Crothheimer's column.
Sorry.
So don't let the extremes drive you against it. In other words, don't see someone like I believe to be part of the liberal agenda as Bob Costas, but take him out of it. Look at the actual argument, and yes, we need to change the name. That it is, regardless of whether or not there's even an Indian nation that came forward to feel offended by, it is patently offensive. You'd have to, without paying respect to the tradition of the Washington Redskins, and not caving in to the so-called politically correct crowd.
Right.
But so take all that. Yes, it is, and probably need to change that.
To me, 10 years from now, there's no negative. You know, plus it's a whole new line of merchandise I get to sell, which I keep saying from a business standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. There is negative to keeping it. There is zero negative down the road to getting rid of it.
There are ways to go about doing it that are really, really good. Like I said, I noted my old alma mater, a brilliant way to pivot. That's not available here. Ole Miss did it in a horrible way.
Maybe the worst ever.
It was, I mean, they didn't have a backup rate. Then the kids get involved. Then suddenly Star Wars characters are leading the rebel commander.
And it's embraced and not at all.
Right. It is.
And it could have been done as deftly as the Warriors if they had gone with the Star Wars character. It would have been just as good.
Right. But, I mean, there's a way to train. And I know what Kai out over there was trying to do. You know, look, we're trying to get away from this particular thing. But there's how do you pay homage to the, or how do you pay homage to the past and to the success and the tradition and the alumni or the old fans, but also move forward quickly and say, okay, this is what we are now, and in a modern world, this is how we need to be perceived.
Okay, these are all things that are off the field. The practical part of it all is, as it was pointed out this morning by the old coach this morning on the show, No Name.
Yes.
The Cowboys are probably going to win that division at 8-8.
Ugly.
You play to win the game.
Ugly.
And you could see that go 8-8.
You could see that Detroit loss. And I knew when Dick Stockton, Stockton and Billick did the game, right? When they started talking about a tough loss for Detroit.
By the way, Brian Billick has a heterosexual crush on Megatron, which I don't blame him.
When you just saw what he did in that game, it was truly.
He went on and on about what a great work ethic, not a prima donna he is.
Yes.
And then he was kept comparing him. And Dez Bryant made it so easy for comparison's sake. Two extremely talented receivers with completely different approaches.
But, you know, if Tom Brady or Peyton Manning yells at people like that, it's leadership. And if Dez Bryant does it, it's petulance and acting out.
Well, because there is a built-in assumption of selfishness with a wide receiver always.
Good point.
White, black, indifferent, whatever. Don't make it a race issue. Don't make it a position issue.
You're right.
Don't make it a leadership issue.
Prima donnas.
Yeah, I mean, wide receivers all have the same kind of negative connotation in that regard.
And that's been a modern development within this last decade. But I think because they're so big and strong and fast, and maybe a Michael Irvin sort of ushered that kind of throw me the, Keyshawn.
Yeah.
Throw me the damn ball. Get out of my way. all that other stuff. And they are, boy, they are so talented, man. And Des Bryant, and you look at Calvin Johnson, they are unbelievably talented physically. And so you're right, maybe there is that, it's a position thing. But, you know, and then he went on for forever. Then it just kept going
on. Well, there were like
on.
Two or three different incidents, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
And so,
when I see guys, you know, grabbing him and reeling him in, and leaders on both sides of the football, including Ware, who's not even playing that particular day, he really got his attention. But, I mean, that's just not, it's not healthy, probably.
It's not, but you're right.
But I think his heart was probably in the right place. He's like, look, I have a competitive advantage here. Give me the stinking ball.
Right.
And he wanted him to be more aggressive, which... We talk about this almost every Friday because the Pigskin cries about it every week about Michigan. If you take a lead and then you sit on the ball, you are going to lose.
Yeah.
Again, back to Herm. You play to win the game. If you score another touchdown, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not sit on the ball.
You got to know what killed Dallas, oddly enough, that fourth down, that third down holding penalty that was declined smartly by the Lions.
Blatant hold, by the way.
That's 35 seconds that did not run off the clock.
Yeah.
That's 35. And by the way, but it was a pickup of like 10 or 12 yards on the run. The kick was going to be good from however far it was going to be good from.
Right.
So that 35 seconds stays on the clock, and you give Matthew Stafford and then the Cowboys an opportunity to stink it up down the stretch.
But I go back to Stafford, too. It was so great. He not only smartly dives in the end zone while everybody thinks he's going to clock it. In his post-game press conference, he is wearing a tank top and sounding as country as he can. Let me give you my best rendition.
Yeah.
I look over there, man, and the linebackers weren't even hardly paying attention, man, so I just dove right in the end zone, son.
Yeah.
Dude's country. I
would have thought that Dallas would have called timeout immediately. Once it's down there, I figure that's what Dallas calls timeout at that point in time to set their defense.
Well, the question becomes, who was more disorganized at that point?
Right.
Clearly
it was
Dallas. You're right.
It was a bad – but you know, one other thing real quick that I took away from that, you were talking about Des Bryant acting up on the sideline and everything else. Mm-hmm. Even with no uniform on, how intimidating is DeMarcus Ware?
Very.
I mean, the look, and he grabbed him, and then he calmed way down. I mean, that –
He played at Troy, didn't he?
Yeah, he played at Troy. But he is a huge man to begin with. But then he had that sort of turned to stone stare that brought Brian under control very quickly.
I noticed as he was waving off Jason Witten, he didn't wave off DeMarcus.
No.
Wouldn't mess with Witten either.